Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're going to hit the button. It'd be a festive way to start the show. Pete, we're going. We're rolling.
It's Christmas!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 2018's 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. There's laughter in the studio. Christmas is nearly here. This is number 7 in this year's 12 Rambles of Christmas.
Mistletoe.
No, it's not mistletoe, but it is the latest in the list of 12 things that we love about what Pelé called the game that made me a lot of money.
In association with Bet365.
Yeah,
indeed. Good old football, eh? Mm. Well, everybody loves the unexpected moments in football, of course. Whether that be a straight red card, a last-minute goal, a great comeback, and so on. We also love the bizarre moments when normality is disrupted. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're focusing on the outfield player in goal.
I think this is, and I'm interested as ever in your guys' thoughts on this. Mark has mentioned a couple of things there, like the red card out of nowhere, the sort of the comedy own goal, even the dog on the pitch, because that doesn't really notably affect the game long term. I would suggest that the outfield player in goal is the best thing that can happen when you're watching the game, in a game you don't care about, of course, and or you don't have a vested interest in. And I'll go further than that and say, the earlier it happens in the game, the better.
Of course. Yeah.
You don't want it in injury time. No. 30 seconds to go.
Boring. Yeah, because boring. The thing is as well, if it's happened early in a game, the set of circumstances that has had to transpire, three subs being used, two goalkeepers not being available, like that is so rare. Yeah. But it does sometimes happen that, you know, a player has to spend a decent chunk of time in the net.
And invariably, if the second keeper gets sent off for a foul in the box, the player has to face a penalty.
Yes.
Which is quite common, isn't it?
Yeah, which is quite common. When you sort of look into these things, it does happen quite a lot that the outfield player has to save a penalty. They very much don't.
And the first thing that comes to everyone's mind, I imagine, certainly into my mind when you see it happen, is as soon as you see that player that's not used to playing in goal, he doesn't even have to make a save or do a kick. No. As soon as you see him move, you think, oh, keepers are good. Yeah. Goalkeepers are really good.
That's true.
It's the body shape, isn't it?
The technique is there, yeah.
You realise how different the goalkeeping position is to the rest of the players when that happens.
And how different they look now than what they used to in, like, I don't know, say the 80s. The way they sort of leap, the way they sort of, they're just up. Mm. As soon as they dive, they're up again. It's fascinating.
Not dressed as oil filters.
Not Pat Jennings.
That moment when an outfield player is handed the goalkeeping jersey, it's like someone's handed him lead boots or something. Yeah. It's kind of like, what's he going to do with that?
It's always too big for them.
Does he know how to operate in that?
He can't even look at it.
You realise how vulnerable the goalkeeper is.
Yeah.
I think that moment, honestly, and especially there's something about seeing an outfield player wearing the goalkeeper jersey but still with the outfield shorts on.
Yeah, with not his name on the back.
Exactly. It's kind of like everyone's a bit like, it's like he's playing a different sport.
And the other thing that makes it absolutely fantastic is because these days, certainly over the last 20 years, football's become very, very professional in every area.
Yes.
Right. So the thing that every year that goes past, the game moves further away from the grassroots game we find on the pitch when we play. You know, and VAR will accentuate that, as we talked about before, just as an example. The best thing about when the outfield player goes in goal, there's no protocol for it. Unless you've got Phil Jagielka in your squad, who used to be a keeper and everyone knows he's great. There's no protocol. Mm. You've literally got a football club that turns over, in some cases, like hundreds of millions of pounds, looking around going, right, who's tallest? Who is the tallest?
Because it goes back to the playground, doesn't it? I remember Marcus being very excited about Jose Mourinho when he played in that charity match.
At Loftus Road.
Not necessarily an outfield player, but his father was a goalkeeper, wasn't he? And you thought he was really good.
Was he decent?
We had very different opinions about
him. I'm surprised because he had the athleticism of a younger man.
Yeah.
Of a younger man. Mm. I suppose that's what it is, the ages, but he knew his way around. And I just didn't think that Jose Mourinho, you don't think of him as a footballer.
Yeah.
But he's a bit like Arsene Wenger, even though Arsene Wenger did have a playing career.
On the other hand, though, he would be rangy, wouldn't he?
Yeah, on the other hand, though, you know that what Mourinho's like, he would never have gone anywhere near that if he didn't think he'd look good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's thinking to himself, I'm going to surprise a few people here.
I keep in shape.
Yeah.
It's a position where you don't have to run around
much
anyway.
That's all right, though.
But I don't mind it. But the other protocol, apart from the tallest player, is that we've seen, and we'll come on to a few examples, I'm sure, because it's just too much fun to not. But sometimes, and I'll give one person who I don't give an awful lot of credit for this, is that Robbie Savage, when he did it for Derby against Reading, famously, and he made a brilliant save in that game. Clawed one at the top corner.
But that was particularly good.
The story goes, the reason he stepped into goal is because he was captain. And he thought, that's the thing a captain should do. Mm-hmm. We don't have a keeper. There's no one here at any near a level of being a good goalkeeper. I'm going to have to do it. And he did it. And he saved an amazing free kick. So credit to him for doing that.
Also, as well, he really played with a smile on his face. And obviously, we've all had...
He was getting so much stick from behind the goal as well.
But he was loving it. And you know what? That is how you've got to approach that sort of thing. If you're going to take on that sort of responsibility, then, you know, revel in it and actually show that you're not frightened and you're enjoying it. Because, I think...
Robbie Savage enjoying being centre of attention. Who'd have thunk it?
There it is.
Yeah. Always comes in with a counter dig.
I feel like...
I didn't see it coming. Like that ball.
It's going to the top corner.
I've got a very wet mouth all the time. Well, someone put a little silica gel pouch in my mouth.
Do not eat.
Do not eat. I'm not eating it.
Jimmy, we're going to say.
Oral's gone down. What I was going to say was, I think, you know, it affects the psychology of the other team as well. Because, what do you want to see happen when a goalkeeper goes in goal? Do you want the other team's shooting from everywhere?
Yes, just shoot to see on side.
Or perhaps both, actually. Do you want the goalkeeper to play a surprising blinder?
Well, no. I want both to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's something. But teams, they
you
smell,
can't really have both, can
they
you?
They smell blood, but then you've still got to get through the defence, haven't you?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Because they haven't lost any players outfield, have they? They've just lost their goalkeeper. So it's
shooting from everywhere might be a waste of possession.
Yeah.
Well, true, because if you can suddenly panic, can't you, and think, right, we have to shoot, and then you lose your heads.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, if you keep playing and you know, presumably they're down to... Not necessarily. So they'd be down to 10 men, wouldn't they? Yeah, that's the usual scenario.
They would lose.
Unless it was like Sheffield United.
They wouldn't necessarily be down to 10 men, because if you think of... I'm going to talk about Reading again here.
Uh-huh.
When... I can't remember the detail, but they wouldn't necessarily be down to 10 men. But
it could be an injury.
When Peter Cech got injured...
Oh, that's right.
Carlo Cudicini came on. Yeah. He also got injured. Yeah.
And John Terry.
And then John Terry had to go and goal. I don't think they'd run out of subs by that point.
Yeah, so with regards to Jagielka in goal for Sheffield United against Arsenal... When Arsenal, I think, had one shot on goal the whole game.
Yeah.
And it was... It's classic Arsenal, that. They lost the game 1-0. against Warnock, Sheffield United.
With Phil Jagielka in goal.
Yeah, who made a good save right at the end against Van Persie. Yeah. So I think, that kind of shoot on site. But this is why it's so great. It messes with everyone, even the opposition. The opposition don't think, oh, that's helpful. So when we go about trying to carve them open and all the rest of it, if we set up, put our striker through one-on-one on goal or something like that, it should be more easier, you would think. But they sort of go, oh, should we shoot from everywhere? Mm. It messes with them. It goes right, it permeates throughout the whole stadium and all the way into the living rooms of those who are watching.
You sort of occasionally see sort of social media posts from football clubs where you see like outfield players in training going in net. Mm. Herrera's quite good. Dirk Kuyt as well was pretty tasty as a keeper. But sort of looking back, I was trying to find out my favourite one, but I'd not seen this one before, but this one really excites me. 1999, Frankfurt at Bayern, Sammy Kufur kicked Olivier Kahn in the head, his own player.
Yeah.
Oliver, not Olivier. Sorry, Oliver.
No, he's French. He was French.
Oliver Kahn. Smacked him right in the head. I mean, that's a bit rich from you, Marcus Bell, has to be said.
Yeah, Marcus.
Smacking people in the head.
Yeah. He was replaced by Bernd Dreher. All right.
Who?
Bernd Dreher.
Okay.
The substitute goalkeeper.
Right.
Kipier.
Yeah.
Who then got injured. He sort of rolled under his like knee. It was, like,
I remember this. The ball came across on the right and he tried to turn. He twisted his knee.
Yeah. And then Michel Tanner, the left back, went in.
Known as Michael Tanner.
James Tavernier. Yeah. He made an amazing save in the final minutes.
Is it where the ball runs along the line? Mm.
Say again.
Where the ball goes along the line. He scrambles and claws it out.
So he dives one side and then he has to kind of like just shuffle his way across. And it was such a good kind of like, late reaction save. For a 2-1 win.
Sticking with the German theme, the best I've ever seen is Jan Koller. Yeah. Jan Koller winning goal.
The story of that game is mad, though.
It had everything. It had absolutely everything.
It did, because it's Bayern against Dortmund. It's 2002.
Had Big Jens being sent off.
Because Koller put Dortmund ahead, didn't he? I think it was Roque Santa Cruz and Claudio Pizarro, which is such a...
Jan Koller's goal
so
in
much.
That game is the most fortuitous goal a striker could wish for.
Tell us.
Somebody smashed it. He sort of tries to sort of spin around to kind of get out of the way, and it hits off the back of his heel and cannons into the top corner.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
Classic Koller. That's what he was there for. He's a big battering ram, wasn't he? But do you know why Jens got sent off?
No.
Because he was moaning. Claudio Pizarro's goal was offside, so he chased the referee to have a go at him, mate. He'd already been booked as well.
Nice.
and that is textbook. That's what you want with someone like Big Jens being involved. But Jan Koller, in that game, he takes about four or five crosses really well.
Yeah.
He makes a brilliant save. And the moment you really know that he's enjoying himself, goes up for a corner, tries to nick one at the last minute.
Yeah.
But imagine the defenders. Well, the keeper's come up, but he's actually a striker.
Yeah. So but he used to be a keeper, and he's 6'7".
He's an absolute monster.
Yeah. But also, during that, trying to get back from that corner, he just runs into the referee as well. And can you imagine Jan Koller running into you? Just absolutely take
Gary Lineker once described Jan Koller as a head on a stick.
Yeah.
And I think that goalkeeping appearance suggests otherwise.
Yeah, he's got more strings to his bow than that.
All right, a quick break, gentlemen, and afterwards we're going to talk a few more examples, good and very bad, of goalkeepers, of outfield players going in goal. See you in a moment.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, indeed. What, just carrying on from Phil Jagielka, what I liked about that is that Warnock, of course, didn't put a goalkeeper on the bench.
No.
Because they knew. And as soon as Jagielka goes in goal, I think a cross comes in and he straight up there punches it far away and you think, oh, yeah, he's tasty. He looks good. But of course, it doesn't always work out for the best, does it? As Harry Kane knows.
Oh, that was... I feel really sorry for Harry Kane rewatching that because he looks so young.
Yeah, and he also scored a hat-trick in that game. Yeah. And this was before he was prolific, as prolific as he is now. He's in Europa League.
He was a slight comedy, not comedy, that's harsh, but...
He was a bit of a comedy character.
Yeah, I suppose he was. Yeah.
When
he
was that against Asteras in the Europa League?
It was definitely Europa League.
Right. Was that the game that Lamella scored that ridiculous goal in?
Yeah.
The Rabona.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Kane went in goal for the last couple of minutes.
Gets a P-roller.
He gets a P-roller freaking and it squirms under him. And you can see in his face, he's like, oh, that undoes the hat-trick. Well, obviously, it doesn't. But, you know, it was such a sour note for the game.
He gets the match ball, but it's popped.
It was like a poor... the thing about it as well is that he doesn't... He looks so young and he's obviously not anywhere near the player that he is now. And he's not got his shirt tucked in. He looks kind of scruffy. Yeah. He sort of looks like he doesn't really know what he's doing.
Borrowed the shirt off his older brother or something.
But he's game. He's obviously a good bloke. So he's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll go in. I'm tall.
I think it's because he scored the three goals. He's kind of like, yeah, I'm riding hard. Yeah, goalkeeper shouldn't be a problem.
Imagine we let four in.
I know. It's a shame. One thing I love is something you said earlier, Luke, to expand on that. It's true. There's no protocol for this. Players, especially in the modern era, you could say, the kind of idea of the sort of total football, they're used to playing other positions. Not radical. Because you wouldn't get Harry Kane playing centre-half, for example.
Well, you could do.
But okay, but there are
there's
transferable skills.
Yeah, definitely.
More directly with a striker and a centre-half than there would be with a striker and a goalkeeper, of course. And when the striker goes in goal, or any outfield player goes in goal, they have never practiced this. This is totally new. And one thing you see is a lot of saves being made with the feet.
Our keepers absolutely burning it out of the box and tackling people at the feet.
But it happened with John O'Shea. For Manchester United against Spurs.
He just legged it out.
He essentially was like he was the last defender.
Sweeper keeper.
Tackled him and did the business.
He made a save. They were already 4-0 up, by the way.
Yeah.
He made a save against a 1-0. By the way, can I just say, whoever was playing right back for Man United that day had stitched John O'Shea right up there, played a terrible back pass. Someone was in on goal. Who was it? It might have been Aaron Lennon, maybe. No, it wasn't.
I can't remember.
I can't remember who it was. Anyway, someone's going in on goal, and John O'Shea makes a save about 8 yards out of his penalty area by tackling the forward. And it's unquestionable in my mind, without a shadow of a doubt, the striker's just not expecting the keeper to come up for out because he's thinking the goalkeeper's probably going to narrow the angle, get about 12 yards out and try and make himself big. But O'Shea tears out at him.
Ferdinand put the shirt on, the keeper's shirt on, and then John O'Shea took it off him.
Well, Ferdinand winning goal against Portsmouth in the FA Cup quarter final that time.
To no avail.
Kushak got sent off and he had to immediately face a penalty, is what you were talking about earlier.
From Montari.
And he got quite close to it.
No, he never.
If he had technique, he went the right
side. But the way Montari hit the ball, there's no way.
But the way it messes with everyone's head, you just reminded me, I mentioned earlier about John Terry going a goal for Chelsea against Reading at the Medeski, that when Peter Cech got that awful injury. And then Cudicini came on and was knocked out cold as well.
Yeah.
Not a lot was made of that, but Terry goes in goal.
Olympics.
But there's at one point, John Terry, who even then was one of the most assured centre-backs around, very experienced, a bit of a leader, all the stuff we know about him. Do you know what the first thing he does is? He gets really confused about whether he can pick up a back pass or not.
Yeah.
And he's standing there with the ball at his feet and he's shouting at the defender and pointing at the ball. And you think...
That's mad.
Yeah. Yeah. You should know that because you're the other side of that normally. You're part of that process, but that's what I mean.
But it's, you know, it
messes with his mind.
Absolutely. It's funny. It's going back to Germany as well. It's a player facing a penalty straight away. Kevin Grosskreutz went in goal for Dortmund. And his technique is really interesting because the player hits the ball, it goes to the right, and Grosskreutz, he just turns round and runs towards the post. Like he almost runs into it. It's like he thought he'd probably dive through instinct, and he just doesn't.
That's brilliant.
Oh, this probably happens automatically.
But, yeah, the gold standard for a player going in to save a penalty straight away is Niall Quinn for
Niall
Manchester
Quinn,
City.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, this was what, early 90s was it against Derby? I mean, he's facing Dean Saunders.
Who scored a hatful of goals in his career.
Exactly. And I think Derby needed to win. That Derby were relegated by quite a big margin of points, so they were never going to stay up.
Was it the season their record?
No. That was with Savage, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was with Paul Jewell, wasn't it?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
This is about 91, something like that, 1990. And Dean sort of sets up and puts it into the corner, and Niall Quinn, big frame, gets down and pushes it wide of the post, and it's an amazing save. And Derby, I think, were relegated that day because they didn't win the game or didn't get a result, you know.
I remember Felipe Melo doing the same thing for Galatasaray.
Oh, yeah,
he saved.
He celebrated as a tiger crawling across the goal line, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
And momentarily forgot there's a corner about to be taken. Had to get up again.
Oh, man.
A tiger asking the left-back to mark a post. Mark a post.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are differing results of this, aren't there?
I think if it was down to me, if I was a manager and I had to make a decision about who went in, I think I would pick a defensive player purely because they're more conservative and they're less likely to take chances, which is what you need. Ultimately, I get the impression, obviously I've never played in goal at any sort of level, but I get the impression that all the spectacular stuff you see the top goalkeepers do, it's based on like a solid foundation of like technique and not taking chances when you don't need to. With the occasional exception of people like Higuita and all that kind of stuff. Generally, the top goalkeepers are just solid, aren't they? They don't take chances. You see them playing with their feet more now, but that's not the same as just, you know, a Sunday league keeper who loves just tipping it over the bar and doing all this stuff with their feet. That I think a forward player is going to be much more likely to take unnecessary risks when he doesn't need to.
Also, as well, if you're a defensive player, you understand what it is to play as part of that unit. So you've probably got a little bit more insight into it from that.
Unless you're John Terry, who's forgotten the back pass rule because you've moved 10 yards further back in your position.
Definitely. One of the more comical examples of all this, that we've said one or two, was when Vinnie Jones went in goal for Wimbledon.
Mm.
Do you remember that one, Peter?
I do, because Les Ferdinand kind of fluffed a header against him and he had quite an easy save in the end.
Yeah. Well, they were away at Newcastle and I think Newcastle won 6-1 that day and Jones conceded about 3 or 4.
But Newcastle were brilliant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Les Ferdinand was playing.
That's the thing. Like, it was really hard with someone like Vinnie Jones, who was a real tough operator, of course, and had a reputation and so on and so forth. When he goes in goal, that goes. Suddenly he's this weak, vulnerable thing.
You forget how big and imposing Vinnie Jones was, and I think most of his hard man image was the fact that he was just a clumsy shit. I hated Vinnie Jones. I still kind of do.
But when he
goes in net, he suddenly becomes a little boy, doesn't he?
Exactly. Oh, that's what I mean. That's what it does.
I've muffed it up again.
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, I mean, you could imagine goalkeepers up and down the land smirking away when an outfield player goes, hey, see?
I think they like it because it gives people a bit of a taste.
Yeah,
gives them an idea that they can't take that specialist position for granted.
Mm. That's right. The goalkeeper's union is a very smug place when an outfield player goes in goal. So it should be.
Would you volunteer to go in if it was you?
I did once years ago.
Yeah? How did you get on?
I did all right, actually. We lost, I think we were 1-0 down. I think, I can't remember, maybe conceded one. We were second best on the day we lost 2-0. I didn't disgrace myself.
When I played in New Zealand, we only had two goalkeepers, and one of them was injured, and the other one was late to, it was an away game, it was late to the home ground where we were meeting.
Right.
So then had to drive himself to the away game, mm-hmm. but got lost. And I ended up volunteering to go and goal. And we got beaten, but I only we got beaten 1-0, and I conceded an own goal when one of the striker for our team shinned it into the top corner from a corner.
You can't do anything about it.
No. And the one thing that really annoyed me about the whole thing was that when we were about to go out and play, the manager said to everyone in the clinic, look, he's not a keeper, right? Don't give away free kicks around the box, right? Because it's going to cause us trouble, cause problems. We don't need to let the other team know that he's not a keeper.
That's right.
Just don't give away. And the first 10 minutes, I must have faced about four free kicks from around the box, all of which I think probably went wide or over or something.
Yeah, that's it. When an other player goes in goal, the team goes in hyper. It's like, we've got to protect Queen Bee in goal.
Yeah, exactly. But I used to quite enjoy, I didn't enjoy it that day because it was like a proper game. Mm. But when I used to play six aside with my mates Sunday League.
It's very different though.
Yeah. I quite liked it.
It's very different though. When you're playing a game which is, if you say five or six aside, where it's naturally high scoring, if you make an odd mistake and whatnot, it doesn't matter. Peter, you like it to go in goal.
I play in goal quite a lot, but
you're quite reckless,
I'm
naturally.
Exactly. I'm about as good an outfielder as I am in
you
in
like net. George Campos, but without the saves.
Dreadful. I'm dreadful at football. And I've somehow got worse.
Do you know what I'm saying? Jim's gonna about to be self-deprecating, but before I give you the opportunity to do that, I'm going to say we went up to play a football tournament, six-a-side in Birmingham for Football 365.
Oh, many years ago.
Yeah, but we played it and we won it, and Jim was in goal the whole tournament. Yeah. We won the whole tournament.
That's true. But I was going to say I'm actually far more comfortable in goal than I am out
there
of
it. There we go, that's
but
why.
The thing is, it is a real confidence thing. I found quite often when I was younger, when I was playing, even just in the playground sometimes, you might have an absolute blinder in goal one day, and then like, it really energizes the people you're playing with.
Yeah.
That pressure, you really feel it in the next game. Yeah. And if you concede a goal early, it weighs on your mind.
Also, if you make one mistake, it's a goal.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
There we are.
It's a goal.
It's a goal.
So, it never does a goalkeeper get more respect than when an imposter goes in, an alien appears between the sticks.
So, John O'Shea, Jan Koller, Felipe Melo, even Robbie Savage, Vinny Jones, Phil Jagielka, all of this. This episode is dedicated to you.
Absolutely.
For entertaining us over the years.
Thanks, Luke.
I mean, there is there is Cosmin Motti. I mean, are we going to make a little bit of time to talk about this guy?
Well, you've made time now, Jim.
Yeah. I think it's important.
You've covered your angle.
Did
Jim.
You guys
defend it?
Did you guys read about this guy? I think this is the best example of this ever. So it's 2014. It's a Champions League playoff. It's Ludogorets against Steaua Bucharest, right? The Ludogorets goalkeeper gets sent off in the closing minutes of extra time. Now, the Romanian centre-back, Cosmin Motti, who used to play for Dinamo Bucharest, went in goal, scored his penalty, which was the first, then saved two penalties to put them into the Champions League for the first time in their history.
I mean, doesn't get any bigger than that.
No, they named a stand after him. And he was miles off his line for both.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, a worthy last mention.
Indeed.
I think we agree. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the seventh episode of our 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. We'll be back tomorrow with another era of football that we ruddy love. Say goodbye, chaps.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
And bye from me.
Season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.